Eliana Mandel Bronner has been with us before. She is the director of the Kobe Mandel Foundation and is with us at our temporary Nefesh B'Nefesh studios. It is a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We've spoken by phone before. I always feel that the families that listen to this show feel intertwined with your family. I always feel that way, and you probably get that from all around the world, because there's a certain age group of people, I don't know, 20 to 60, figure it out, you know, whatever numbers you want to use, for whom your family's tragedy was so personal to them and meant so much, and just the whole circumstance of Kobe's murder, excuse me, but that's what it was, and his friend that day. And you'll excuse me, but we go back to what year? To what year was that Lag B'Omer?
That was 2001.
2001. So it's 22 years later. 22 years later. And am I right that you get the feeling that families around the world feel a true kinship to your family?
Yes. Whenever I say I'm Eliana Mandel, they ask me, oh, the Kobe Mandel Foundation? Oh, are you Kobe's sister? It's immediate.
And you were how old? I'm sorry for asking this, but how old were you at the time that this happened?
I was 10 years old when Kobe was murdered.
10 years old. And he was your older sibling.
He was the oldest.
He was the oldest child in the family. And, I mean, we could go back, but I think we have with your mother about what those days were like, and she was so poignant in pointing out what all those activities were like. And she really became a leader. She became a leader in the area of trying to cope with grief. And, you know, losing a child in this brutal way makes it, I'm sure, even more difficult, so we really need someone with her expertise in that area. For those of you who don't know, again, we're talking about the murder of Kobe Mandel in 2001 in a terrible terror attack, which led to the formation of the Kobe Mandel Foundation. You're still in Tocoa, meaning you're a married woman now, and you're in the same neighborhood.
I'm married. I have 4 children, and we moved back to Tocoa. Yeah.
And are other of your siblings, married siblings in Tocoa as well, or in the area?
No, I'm the only one.
Interesting. And not only did everybody feel a kinship to your family, I would say people felt a kinship to Tocoa, because for many, they had never heard of Tocoa until this happened to Kobe.
Yep, the murder definitely put Tocoa on the map.
Isn't that crazy? And today you tell us, off the air, you told us that Tocoa, 22 years later, is what one may consider a major city at this point, right?
Tocoa right now is the largest community in Gush Etzion.
It's larger than Efrat?
Yeah, no, Efrat is separate from Gush Etzion.
Oh, right.
But there are over 1,000 families.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Anyway, so the foundation is founded. You're still a kid when it's founded, right? And your parents did a remarkable job to get it off the ground. And the purpose is to help victims of terror and their families, right?
Yep, exactly.
Unfortunately, in the last 22 years, you guys have had a lot of business. You know that.
We have had so much business.
It's terrible.
But never something like this.
Right. I mean, I can only imagine what's happening in your offices now. And we should mention that you have special programming, including the summer camp. I'm trying to think of the stuff that's really well-known to American Jews. The summer camp's a very high-profile thing. I can only imagine how those kids benefit from being in the same arena for a few weeks as other victims' siblings, right? That's essentially what it is.
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's putting them together with kids who've gone through the exact same thing or something very similar to what they've gone through, and forming a community of children who support each other and help each other and empower each other and are able to share their stories with each other.
And boy, are you able to relate to this in a way that your parents can't relate to it. Your parents were not a sibling to him. You were. And it's different. All this grief is different depending on what the relationship was, right?
Yeah, any position you have inside the family, yeah, you experience it differently. So every person experienced grief differently and losing their loved one differently. I have the opportunity to see mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and widows and widowers all deal with their grief differently. A few years ago, my family sat down and spoke about how we dealt with it during the first years.
Right.
And we realized that each one of us dealt with it so differently. And the people we are today, because of Kobe's murder, it really built us into different people than what we would have been. Yeah. And because of the Kobe Mandel Foundation, I can talk about myself, that the Kobe Mandel Foundation inspired me and empowered me to be a better person.
Wow. Eliana Mandel Bronner is with us, director of the Kobe Mandel Foundation. And your mother had a unique way, and I'm sure your father as well, we just didn't speak with him as often, had a unique way to communicate all this to people. And I guess you have to deal with other people like her who have this unique way of transmitting all this information to people. You need real experts when it comes to grief and the grieving process, right?
So now with the war, we feel like we've entered a new territory.
Right.
Kobe's story used to be one of the worst stories that have ever been happened in Israel. It used to two 13-year-olds who were brutally murdered by stones. They were, and now we're not even the first 1,000. So we're all in shock, and we're all trying to deal with it.
Sbarro has taken a drop on the list.
Yeah.
One of the biggest terror attacks in Israel's history, and now nothing compared. I mean, you know what I mean by that.
Yeah.
Nothing compared to what happened October 7th.
Exactly, and October 7th has thrown us all for a curve, and we're all in shock, and we're still in the middle of a war. So for every program, we are starting programming for the new families from October 7th and onward, and we have all of our, we have my mother sitting in on meetings, we have our therapist sitting in on meetings, and we're polling the new families and asking them, how can we help? What do you need right now? What is the best way that the Kobe Mandel Foundation can be in service of you?
What did Kobe have? He had an Orioles hat on, right?
No, a Yankees hat.
It was a Yankee?
Yeah.
Why did I think it was Orioles? He was a good Yankee fan, Baruch Hashem. I don't know why I thought there was a Baltimore connection. There isn't, right?
Well, because we lived in Maryland.
Oh, father, so I am right. So that's why I thought. But I remember him in the baseball cap, and that picture that, of course, in those days, what we would call went viral. Today it would be, you know, it would be everywhere in seconds. But even then, it went around the world, and people, you know, remember him, you know, with that image. So the work is obviously going to be a lot more difficult now and a lot more immediate. By the way, was there a period of time when Kobe was missing? Was there a period of time, a day or two?
It was a day, yeah.
Because I say to myself that in a way, and again, we can't compare, but in a way, for a drop, you can understand what the hostage families are going through. Again, you can't really compare, but the fact that their family member is missing.
Yeah, the,
you know,
search.
You don't know where they are. Right, the search. You don't know where they are. That's also a component. It's interesting. In this one episode, you really had a lot of what people are going through on a much bigger scale, you know, with this whole thing.
Yeah. I feel like in a way, Kobe's death has prepared us for dealing with everything that's happening right now in like a micro minute.
Are the events still going on? Because Comedy for Kobe is a big one. Did that happen this past summer? When did it happen last?
It happened on Sukkot, one, and we're having one in January.
Oh, so you're doing it.
Yes, we are doing it. We need the support right now. And you know what? Our soldiers are fighting right now so that we are able to live our life and be happy. And the Kobe Mandel Foundation, our job is just getting bigger, so we need the support of Comedy for Kobe.
Now, have you announced the lineup yet, and have you announced the date yet?
Yes, we have.
And when is this?
So,
is it during the yeshiva break, when people are around here from the United States or not?
I don't know when yeshiva break is.
Last week in January, basically.
Yeah, it's from the 15th, 16th for 5 days.
Oh, so there will be people in from out of town. And have you put together a lineup already?
Yes, we have.
Top comedians?
Top comedians.
Some from the United States or not?
They're all from the United States, and they're coming here in support of Israel. Some of them have already been here for Comedy for Kobe in the past, and they wanted to come back to support and to be here for the Nation of Israel and for the Kobe Mandel Foundation.
Is all this on the website?
It's all on the website.
Okay. And it's not all Jerusalem, right?
No, it's in Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, Ra'anana, Gush Etzion, and Beit Shemesh.
Nice. 5 consecutive nights?
Yep, exactly.
Very cool. And people can donate even if they're not coming to the event.
Yes,
people
they can
help keep the foundation going even if they're not coming to the event. Can I assume KobeMandelFoundation.com or .org?
Yes, .org.
KobeMandelFoundation.org. KobeMandelFoundation.org. It's remarkable to think what kind of task you have ahead. Do you have to expand your staff? Do you have to expand the volunteer effort? Like, what are you thinking of as all this is happening in real time?
So we're doubling our staff, and we are doubling all of our activities. We are starting a new branch just for the war. All the activities that we've already done, that we've been doing for the past 20 years, have prepared us for this. So we are not only continuing what we're already doing, we are also expanding just specifically for the war and for the people who have been hurt on October 7th and onwards.
Are there other camp-type programs that go on during the year? I don't know, seminars, get-togethers, support groups, things like that. I mean, what's happened so far with that you can, you know, model after?
So, yes, to all of the above. We had
them all.
Yeah, we had we just had a Hanukkah day. On Hanukkah, we were supposed to have a 3-day camp, but because of the war, we couldn't do that. So we had a Hanukkah camp and Hanukkah day, and we brought all the families to Petah Tikva. We had over 500 people come, and we had it. This is from our previous families, our families who've are already in the Kobe Mandel Foundation.
That many, huh?
Oh yeah, we have 1,000 families signed up to the Kobe Mandel Foundation who actually partake in programs.
And every one of their families has been victimized.
Yes. And what we do is we separated the age group. So we had something for the fathers, we had something for the widowers, we had something for the widows, for the bereaved mothers separately, but all in the same place for the kids at our campsite. So the kids felt like they were coming to camp, even if it was just for one day. And it was really beautiful. We have support. We have already support groups for the bereaved mothers and widows, but we're starting new ones for bereaved mothers and widows from the war. And we are doing, in February, we are starting 10 retreats. So every week there's going to be a retreat, a 2-day retreat in Ishi, courtesy of the Mendelovich family. And once a week, we're going to have 20 to 50 women, men, families come to Ishi for a 1 or 2 day retreat, just to relax and heal and give themselves time to breathe.
What does it cost to put together an event like that?
So it's $10,000 for a day.
Not the craziest thing for a family to sponsor.
No, not at all.
Boy, I'll tell you, the work you have ahead is just unbelievable. In general, are you getting good support from the United States? I don't know how this works. I know that in general, organizations in Israel do enjoy a little bit of support from the government or not. How does that work?
So we don't get help from the government.
Nothing.
In Israel, not right now. Hopefully we're going to start getting more support. But we've been getting a lot of support from our supporters in the United States and from the federations as well.
It's funny that they all know about this organization. And in Israel, it's possible that you're just not getting as much support as you are from out of the country.
So in Israel, people, unless they've been through it, unless they're bereaved, they don't really know about us that much. In America, my parents put a lot of effort in making sure that Kobe's name was known all over the world, and in America especially. And in Israel, they're Americans, so in Israel it didn't happen as much.
The English-speaking crowd really was their crowd with
yes.
this whole effort, to say the least.
Yes, in Israel and in America.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Anglos, we're doing a good job, but we got to do a better job. You got to go to KobeMandelFoundation.org.
KobeMandel.org.
KobeMandel.org. Mandel.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe, Kobey.
KobeMandell.org.
Oh, so there's two L's.
Two L's, yes.
Got to get this straight. God forbid there's somebody out there right now who wants to donate a good sum of money or any sum of money, and they don't find the website. Although these days, you can probably just search your brother's name.
Yeah.
Come up with it in a second. Kobe, Kobey, Mandell, Mandell.org. Go to the website. Be as generous as possible. It's the end of the year. I hope this is a big week for you guys. I hope.
So do we.
Because this is the end of the year. A lot of people want to give charitable donations. Again, KobeMandel.org. I won't stop saying it until I'm convinced everyone has heard it and is ready to put it into their browser. KobeMandel.org. And participate. Donate and allow the Kobe Mandel Foundation to continue to do their amazing work. It is such a, it's obviously a terrible shame. And at the same time, what it says about the sacrifice of the Jewish people, that this group of terror victims has grown to the point that it has, even before the war. But the fact is, this is part of the destiny of the Jewish people, it seems. As hopeful and as hopeful and as idealistic as one who grew up in Tacoa is, and you have to be.
Oh, you have
right?
to be.
You have to be idealistic if you're up in Tacoa. There's also a reality. And that reality, of course, you know, hit your family very hard, and it's hitting too many families so hard, unfortunately. And everybody who, if you can help out the Kobe Mandel Foundation, do it. KobeMandel.org. Do you always plan a January event? Is it usually summer?
Yeah, we have summer and winter and Sukkot.
Oh, so you do that as well. Okay.
Yeah, and we were thinking about canceling, but we said, like, this is what...
It.
Yeah, we can't afford it. Not only can we can't afford it, but people want to laugh. People were asking us. They need, they're living here in this. We're all at a war. We're all going through trauma. So we all need to laugh and we all need to let loose.
I think there were a couple of weeks after the war started where people felt it was inappropriate. And now we're at the stage that you just described where people half the day can be immersed in this terrible news of everything that we've discussed on this show, that's going on here. And the other half of the day can go about with life and laugh when appropriate. And when you're at a comedy show, it's appropriate to laugh. So
it is. And you know what? That's what we got to do. Right. We have to be able to live in the sorrow and accept the sorrow, but also bring in a light.
All right. Give me one thing. Give me one thing that a younger sister remembers about Kobe, because we've spoken to your parents. And we always, we think of a kid, but we never think of that perspective, that he left younger siblings. Give me one thing you remember that just symbolizes his life vis-a-vis you in the family.
So usually I say he was just my brother, and you know what, we fought and we loved, and it was, but he was my brother. Right. But recently I took my kids to a movie, and we went up the escalator. And my youngest son was afraid to go up the escalator, so I gave him his hand, and I told him this story, that when I was 5 years old, we were in the mall, and my whole family went up the escalator, and I was afraid to go up, so I was left there on the bottom of the escalator while my whole family was going up, and I was standing there crying, and my mother sent Kobe down to get me. And I remember him looking at me and saying, "Okay, Eliana, we're going to do this together." And he gave me his hand, and he said, 1, 2, 3. And we walked up the escalator together.
And he's still saying, "Eliana, we're going to do this together."
I talk to him all the time and say, "All right, I need your help." When this happened, I was like, "I need your help because we're doubling and I need your help. And this is in your name. So you better step up."
Amazing. I'm so glad you mentioned that. Kol hakavod to you. Thank you, Eliana Mandel Bronner, director of the Kobe Mandel Foundation. You know, you always have an open invitation to this radio program.
Thank you so much.
Regards, of course, to your parents and everybody.
I'll tell them. Thank you so much.
KobeMandel.org, KobeMandell.org. Give and give generously. You know what, folks? It's the last week of the year. A lot of people like to give during the last week of the year. So be one of those that gives and gives generously to the Kobe Mandel Foundation. More coming up at JM in the AM.